Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Nick.
What's going on, guys? How are we doing today?
You are.
We're doing well. I threw this out earlier, Nick. I know the Browns are 2-6, but the Jets are 1-7 and just traded away their two best defensive players. If this is pivotal, I think. Is it attracting any attention in your business?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Jets guys were a small home favorite coming up on Sunday in this game against Cleveland. And then the news comes down at the trade deadline that they deal away their best corner and their best defensive lineman and Sauce Gardner and Quentin Williams, respectively. And now the Cleveland Browns are 2.5-point road favorites. And I promise you this, this will be the only time all season that the Browns are almost a 3-point road favorite against anybody in the NFL this season. And when I think about this game and conceptualize this game, I do like Cleveland, as crazy as it sounds, Cleveland to win this game by 3 points or more. The Jets' offense is atrocious, and I know they looked good against the Bengals a couple weeks ago. The Bengals may have one of the worst defenses in the history of the league, and A.D. Mitchell, who I like a lot, is the receiver the Jets got, kind of as a throw-in in the Sauce Gardner deal.
Which is a nice move by them.
Yeah, he's immediately going to be their second-best receiver. It's just, can he keep his head on straight? Couldn't do that in Indianapolis, so the Colts give up on A.D. Mitchell. I don't think you'll see A.D. Mitchell play a big role in this game, only going to be obviously on the Jets for a couple days at this point. So I think the Browns are going to be able to stop the Jets from doing basically anything on offense. And on the flip side here, what's stopping Quinshon Judkins from having a huge game on the ground? Off the injury report, looks like he's going to be good to go. Now, I'm going to stop short of saying this is like one of the best bets of all time or anything like that. It's two really bad teams. Anything can happen. But if you made me bet the game, I would actually lay the points with the Cleveland Browns.
And over-under is what, 3? 3.5 in this game?
Well, the number starts with a 3. The number is 38. I would bet the under if I had to bet it, but probably will be on the outside looking in of that one.
Do gamers like this kind of a game? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're talking about the battle for the first pick in the draft.
Well, I guess I don't know if either team is going to be like intentionally trying to tank. It's more, I guess the way that I would think about this is this, and I'm curious if you guys have an opinion on it, right? And we're not going to know until we get to like the heart of draft season. It feels like to me, 27. Is like the real, like, electric quarterback class, which doesn't mean that there can't be awesome quarterbacks this class, like if, you know, Fernando Mendoza from Indiana, if Oregon's Dante Moore comes out, right? If Ty Simpson comes out from Alabama, maybe that's a great quarterback class. But with what the Jets did, loading up with 3 first-round picks in 27, it feels like they're almost more focused on that draft to kind of maybe get their quarterback, maybe go for Jeremiah Smith, right, the Ohio State receiver. Mm-hmm. So Cleveland's got 2 first-round picks in next year's draft. The Jets have 2 first next year and 3 in 27. And the Rams also have 2 first-round picks next year. They have theirs and they have Atlanta's. And the reason why I mentioned the Rams is because I think you would be nuts to not consider the Rams to be a quarterback team in the draft, right? Like Matthew Stafford flirts with retirement every single year, and you would think that Sean McVay is going to want to acquire his quarterback of the future at some point, right? It's not Jimmy Garoppolo. It's not going to be Stetson Bennett. So this arms race that I think we're going to have, and maybe it'll be for the 26th draft, maybe the can will get kicked down the road. I think, like, unless one of these teams just, like, organically is the worst team and gets the number one overall pick in the draft, like, the Browns have the firepower to go up to number one. Like, the Jets have the firepower to go up to number one. The Rams have the firepower to go up to number one if they decide they want to. So I'm reticent of kind of saying this is the tank bowl unless one of these teams has decided we need to be the worst team and get the number one overall pick. And then the obvious counter to that is, like, there's no Andrew Luck in this draft class, right? Like, there's no can't-miss quarterback prospect unless they fall in love with, like, Fernando Mendoza, and I don't know if that's the case.
That's kind of what I've been thinking, too. You know, we heard six, seven, you know, could be a historic number of quarterbacks taken in the first round. As this has played out, Nick, I don't know if that's the case. And, you know, you look at veteran quarterbacks who have switched teams, who might have been given up on by their other teams, you know, Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, Geno Smith's been tolerable. I mean, there are all kinds of guys there. And I wonder if that factor plays into this game at all for either team. Would you think the Jets more than the Browns would lock in on a quarterback in this upcoming draft?
I think both teams need a quarterback. Like, Justin Fields can't play. Tyrod Taylor's old and, like, can't really play even when, like, he can play. And I think, like, you know, it's like I've been saying all season when coming on with you guys, you know, it's like Dylan Gabriel versus Shedeur Sanders to me is kind of an irrelevance because, like, neither guy is the quarterback of the future for the Cleveland Browns. Like, maybe one of them, probably Gabriel, profiles as a long-term backup. And I'm not trying to bury Shedeur that, like, he can never be a starter. Just feel like you don't take Shedeur in the fifth round if you feel like he's your quarterback of the future, right? So both teams need a quarterback. I guess where I'm at on the Jets is the Jets are farther away in their rebuild than the Browns are. Like, I think the Browns have way more talented young players on the roster than the Jets do. And again, like, the Jets loading up in 27 tells you that maybe, like, that's the draft class that they're targeting to really make a splash in. And it does make sense, right, with some of the quarterbacks that could be coming out, you know, in 27. Like, is that an Arch Manning year? And Arch has been playing a lot better for Texas. Like, that's Jeremiah Smith's draft. And, you know, he's so good at the receiver position that maybe he bucks the trend. And maybe he's good enough that he actually goes first overall. I mean, he's absolutely insane, Jeremiah Smith. So I if I had to guess, I would say the Browns would be more likely to grab their quarterback now than the Jets are. But let's be clear here. Like, both teams need their franchise quarterback. And I think, like, gone are the days in Cleveland of Sashi Brown, right, who kept kicking the can down the road every year. Like, when are you going to cash in on these assets? Like, I think the Browns are, like, kind of ready to do that next year with the quarterback.
Who do you like in the AFC North now?
Baltimore.
Still?
Yeah.
Even though they're two games back?
Well, they have everything in front of them, right? And I guess it really comes down to, like, do you think the Steelers can beat the Ravens head-to-head? And Pittsburgh did get a huge win last week against the Indianapolis Colts, obviously. But Baltimore plays Pittsburgh twice, including Week 18. They still play the terrible Bengals twice. They get Cleveland again. So Baltimore's schedule is way easier coming down the stretch. And as of right now, the Ravens will be underdogs, and things can change, right, if Lamar gets hurt, whatever. But as of now, the Ravens will be underdogs in one game they will play the rest of the season, and that's Week 17 on the road in Green Bay. And who knows, by the time we get there, maybe the Ravens are favorites in that game. Maybe they're five-point dogs, just tough to say, right? But at this moment right now, they will be underdogs prior to the game starting once moving forward this season. Compare and contrast with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are underdogs this week, Sunday night, on the road in L.A. against the Chargers. So I don't think it's a slam dunk for Baltimore, but if you make me pick the division winner, I have to go with the Ravens.
What do you think of the Steelers with Aaron Rodgers?
So the Steelers are really interesting because coming into the year, I think the prevailing thought process of many, like including me, was the defense is going to be awesome. Can the offense give you anything to kind of like get them over the hump? And it's actually been the exact opposite. The offense has been really good, and by and large, the defense has been terrible this year, you know, the Dylan Gabriel game against Cleveland notwithstanding. And then last week, they kind of like really came to play, and TJ Watt and the Steelers pass rush like kind of wrecked the game against a really good Colts offensive line. Now, they go Daniel Jones threw three picks and they lost two fumbles, and Josh Downs lost a fumble. So that's a 6-turnover game. And looking a little deeper in the metrics of that game, like the Colts outgained them on a yards per play basis. You just turn the ball over six times in the NFL, like you're going to lose, no matter who you are and who you're playing against. So part of me does feel like it's a little bit of fool's gold for the Steelers last week's win. But then like we go to this week, right? Where for the Chargers, you know, they lost their starting left tackle, Rashawn Slater, all pro offensive tackle for the season early in training camp. And then Joe Ault, who moved over to the left side and is like an all-pro caliber tackle, he's now out for the season as well with multiple high ankle sprains. So this Chargers offensive line is like not going to be good the rest of the year. And now here comes TJ Watt and the Steelers on Sunday night. So I do feel like the Steelers have an opportunity to kind of reassert themselves and reassert this defense. I would say that I'm skeptical of Pittsburgh's defense moving forward against some of the better offenses in the league. And that does include the Ravens when they play them twice moving forward this year.
Hey, I just want to switch gears for you a second, just because I want more of an industry kind of answer, if you've got it. You know, we had the fallout with the NBA a couple weeks ago with with a gambling investigation. And it's been, and it kind of settled down here for a second. No one's really saying anything. What do you think is going to happen in the long run for this?
Like, in what way?
Will the league put pressure on their partners to stop prop bets? Are they going to have new safeguards in place to make sure that, you know, that the games are played the right way and that we don't, I don't know how they can police it. I'm sure they can tweak things to change it, but just to make sure that there's credibility in what they're doing and that we don't have the FBI investigating our major sports leagues.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What I think should happen, I think I said with you guys a couple weeks ago, and if I didn't, my apologies.
Sure.
I think the thing that makes the most sense, I don't think you need to get rid of prop bets like as a whole. But in the NBA, I don't know if you need to have like the eighth or the ninth guy. So like, who's the eighth guy? Just for example, like for the Cavaliers. Like, who's, like, the ninth guy off the bench, like, for Cleveland? Like, a bench guy that comes in and plays, like, a couple minutes a night for the Cavaliers.
Dean Wade.
Yeah, Dean Wade's
great. Okay. Like, do we need Dean Wade props? Like, is that necessary? Where, like, Dean Wade is someone who comes in for, like, I don't know, 10 minutes, and I'm making this up. And I can bring up the box score last night, and by the way, Darius Garland back, you think that makes a difference? 132 points last night?
Yeah,
I think the Cavs are about to go on a run here. So Dean Wade played like a minute last night. So whatever, let's say he plays somewhere in the range of, how about this, Larry Nance Jr. plays 15 minutes last night. You know, when Larry Nance Jr. comes in for 15 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, and, you know, he gets, you know, he's in some trouble and he's got to make some money, whatever the situation is. Yeah, like he can go in and dribble the ball off his knee and miss a layup. And we're just going to think like, okay, like your dad was really good and maybe he just stinks. And like, you're not going to really think twice about it. But, you know, if Donovan Mitchell or Darius Garland or Evan Mobley or Jared Allen, like if one of these guys goes out there and is like dribbling the ball off their knee and missing layups, like that's going to be something that's going to be shared like wildfire on social media because those are the best players on the team. So I don't think you're ever going to see a situation where like Donovan Mitchell shaving points. And I'm just using him because he's the star of the team. Like he's too good. Like you're going to know if that's happening because he's so damn good. So I don't think we need props for guys like Dean Wade or Larry Nance Jr. That would be my answer. It's not banning prop bets. Like, why shouldn't I be able to bet Evan Mobley over rebounds in a game? Like, Mobley's awesome. He's going to play a ton. We know he's really good. I would look to get rid of some of the props for, like, the lesser players on these teams, and I think that probably solves the issue.
That's an interesting thought. Always a pleasure, Nick. Thank you, bud.
You got it. Wishing everybody minimal sweats winning bets the absolute very best of luck.
Let's go to the fan hotline. He calls the games for the Browns on the Browns Radio Network. He'll be at MetLife coming up on Sunday as the Browns take on those pesky, depleted New York Jets. He's Mr. Andrew Siciliano. Hello, Andrew.
Good morning, friends. Answer your question. I was in lovely, beautiful, the weather is always wonderful, Syracuse, New York, last weekend.
Oh, yeah. A little alumni weekend?
Had a little event on my student radio station and kind of turned into like a little mini reunion weekend that Friday and Saturday evening and then spend Sunday on my couch like any good American that doesn't have to work.
That's outstanding.
Although I know that I'm a good American.
You fly all the way back from Syracuse back already?
I took a 6 a.m. If everyone must know my travel. 6 a.m. Delayed an hour for de-icing out of Syracuse because, of course, and ran through O'Hare, made it back, and got on my couch like right at the start of the second quarter of the early 1 o'clock Eastern time games. Yeah, and And now I'm back here.
Congratulations.
Live from Berea. Yeah.
That worked.
Andrew, what do you think the difference will be between Reese and Stefanski calling plays?
Isn't that the big question of the week?
Yes.
I wish
yes,
I knew an answer. I mean, I could give you some babble about getting the ball out quick and, you know, trying to play to Dylan's strengths and moving the pocket and all that. And all of that is true, but it's the same playbook. It's not as if you're going to add 25 new pages to the playbook. It's about, you know, call sequencing and setting stuff up and you know, actually, you know, paying it off a little bit later. But that's not to suggest that Kevin doesn't do that. He does. I think Wyatt Teller has summed it up pretty well. I think he did it last week before everyone broke and took a much needed couple of days off, is that it's one block here and one block there. And, you know, it's great. You call a bubble, but somebody misses a block and it doesn't go anywhere. You know, you have a run blocked up all but one guy, so it doesn't go anywhere. I mean, you look at Quinshon's numbers. I don't have my chart in front of me, but it's like some absurd 86. Hold on. I'm going to walk over here. Stay there. Stay there, guys. Not
we're
like you're
not
going
leaving.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
Hold on. No,
we
no,
have
no,
to
no,
stay
no.
By these microphones.
Let me stay there. Okay. 95.6% of Quinshon's rush yards have been after contact.
Wow.
Say that again.
That's
like 95.
Silly.
So even on his long ones, and he leads the NFL with four rushes of 30 or more yards. Jonathan Taylor Jonathan Taylor, and I believe one of the Etienne's, he's tied with them. So even on those, he's getting at least a hand on before he busts through the line. You got to be assignment sound, regardless of who's calling plays.
I know sometime game flow can play a part in this. This is what I want to see change. The Browns, with Kevin calling the plays right now as it sits, are throwing more passes per game than any team in the National Football League. And,
Roger.
And yet they don't have a quarterback, and yet they don't have wide receivers who are doing a great job. And I think they can run the ball. You just laid out Quinshon. They're 25th in rushing attempts per game. And I know game script can have something to do with that. I hope Tommy Reese kind of can bring both of those things toward the middle. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, because that was the whole idea in the entire offseason, is get back to that offense. And if you look at the last 2 years, so 24 and then whatever we have, we're in week 10 of 25. I think these numbers still hold. As of a couple of weeks ago, no team had thrown the ball more than the Browns in the last 2 years. And if you look at what Flacco has done, obviously in Cincinnati, yeah. Forget about the numbers. I just mean the number of attempts. You know, Joe Flacco, with only 8 games played, leads the NFL in passing attempts at 40 years old. And part of that is obviously with the Browns, but even in Cincinnati, obviously he's throwing the ball even more. You said all offseason you want to run the football. Even if it's banging your head against the wall, you still need to run the football. Now, all of that said, it's great in theory, but if you go 1 yard on first down, 2 yards on second down, I'm all for trying to grind the other guy down. And last week, you're going up against the number one run defense in the NFL and the Patriots. But if you're constantly getting into third and 7, I mean, that doesn't help anybody. So you have to find success on early downs. I don't care how you find it, but you have to. Because 3rd and 7, and then Dylan throws behind the sticks, it doesn't get you anywhere.
No.
Were you surprised, trade deadline day, that the Browns didn't do more? And what was your reaction when we heard over the weekend, or before the weekend, that the Browns would be buyers?
Yes, and surprised, but... Well, go back to the, am I surprised they didn't do anything? Yes, I am.
Okay.
I mean, the Joe Tryon-Troy Anka deal makes sense. He never had more than 7 snaps on defense in any game this year. So, I mean, he's a high motor guy that didn't really have any productivity and couldn't crack the third team. So, hey, get something for him. That's fine. I am surprised. Now, let me make this clear. I did not want to see Joel Bitonio, Wyatt Teller, or David Njoku traded. I did not. Especially if it's going to be like a late round pick swap. Like, I don't need a 7-6 pick swap and sending out a guy that has done any of those three, that has done so much for this town and for this team. I am curious if there were good offers. Like, if we find out later, oh, somebody offered a 3 for David Njoku and you didn't do it, you might look back and go, why not?
Why not, yeah.
And the same for Wyatt. You know, Wyatt's going to be a free agent. Wyatt wants to stay here. He made that very clear I don't know if you heard his interview with Ken Carmen last night, which is great. He made it very clear he wants to stay here and did not. He and Carly did not want to go anywhere. And I love that. Free agent market, though, it might be a high number. Might begin with a 2 for a right guard. So might be tough to bring back. You know, there was a theory that, hey, if you trade one of them, throw Zach Sinner in there and say sink or swim.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Swim. I know he's been a healthy scratch most of the season, but sink or swim, you're a third-round pick. Let's see what you can do. But, you know, on a personal level, I am happy that all three are still here.
I would agree with you on that. Andy and I were talking about this earlier, and Andrew Siciliano joining us. He'll be calling play-by-play, as he's done all season. Done a fine job. He'll be in MetLife Stadium with Nathan Zagura and Gerard Cherry calling the game for us here on the Browns Radio Network. The Jets traded away their two best defensive players. The Jets are 1-7, though they have some skill position players that I like a lot. They've had trouble. I kind of think this is a pivotal game for this season for the Browns, Andrew. If you don't beat the Jets, where's this thing going? If you do beat if you do beat the Jets, all right, you can build some things for next year.
I totally agree. You need to, you want to win this game. I'm fascinated by what this building is going to be like on Sunday. It's supposed to rain, by the way.
Oh boy.
Might be some decent rain, like 60s and rain. It'll be 40s there Saturday night for anyone who's packing, and then maybe 60s and rain during the game. The Jets just traded guys that, you know, players that fans have bought jerseys for.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of players who have been there a while. It's going to be, I mean, is anyone there? Is Fireman Ed, does he put a bag over his fire helmet? I don't know what the atmosphere is going to be like. Justin Fields, look, they came off, they had 500 yards of offense against the Bengals 2 weeks ago. Justin Fields didn't get hit, and that's not hyperbole. If you look at the box score, he actually didn't get hit in the game. The Bengals did not hit him. You don't talk about bad, people complain about the Browns offense. The Bengals even, they didn't hit Justin Fields. And he holds the ball, God love him, for like an hour and a half. So Miles and everyone else has a chance to get home, assuming it is Justin Fields. The Browns should win this game.
I agree. I expect them to win. My fingers are crossed that they win. So we'll see what happens.
What's the goal? What's the goal for this team now, down the stretch?
Well, guys, it's a week-by-week proposition. The goal is to win as many games as possible.
And thank you, Coach Siciliano. Excellent, yeah, excellent.
No, and to wish Devon Hamilton doesn't knock that pass down from Geno Smith. I mean, come on, can a Buckeye help us out here? Like that was going to Tyler Lockett if the Jags were losing that game.
I know.
Yeah, they that's what I did. I rooted against the Jaguars last Sunday sitting on my couch and the Bengals and the Steelers. You win this game, but then you focus on next week. It is the Ravens coming to town next week. Let's not forget that. So the Browns obviously much better, defensively certainly much better back here. I'm curious, what does this defense do on the road against a team that it should play well against?
Yeah.
Now, the Jets have been running the ball really, really well. They have the number 3 rush offense in the NFL. So that is a legit challenge, and they'll take you sideline to sideline, And Justin is definitely a threat in the run game, assuming it is Justin Fields who starts. So let's not, regardless, and you think Garrett Wilson's back, he's limited. He's missed the last couple of games. They still do present you a challenge here. But the goal is to win this one. And the goal is to have Dylan Gabriel play really well, as well. And so we don't sit here next week pointing fingers and coming up with silly conspiracy theories, because that's what we do on Sports Talk Radio about the quarterback.
Fair enough.
He looks like a guy who is competent running an NFL offense. We haven't seen him make the kind of plays that make you think, yeah, you really have something here. Can he do that? Do you think he's that kind of a player?
Guys, I've seen Dylan do it in person. I was in Eugene last year for that shootout with Boise State and Ashton Jeanty. He absolutely can do it. I know college, NFL, much different. Still good Big Ten competition. Granted, Boise State was a group of five school, but a very, very good one last year. I've seen him do it. He did it at Oklahoma. That's big-time college football as well. So I know he can do it. We haven't seen it. We haven't seen the explosives. Curious Isaiah Bond's practice status today. That would certainly help. You would think, you know, my first gut reaction, well, not the first, but one of the things when you sit back and think about it, Tommy Rees calling plays, or maybe unlock Isaiah Bond a little bit. It's not as if Kevin hasn't been trying to do that. Of course he has, but obviously Tommy Rees and Isaiah Bond have the connection from back at Alabama, but I don't know his status this week. I would love to see some downfield stuff. But again, you might be a victim of the elements. It might be a downpour. I mean, you got to wrap your head around that as well.
Yeah, that's true.
That Monday morning, we may have this, instead of this, well, how do we rate Tommy Rees? It may be rating Tommy Rees through the lens of a downpour.
Won't that be fun? Have fun on Sunday. Stay dry. Safe travels. All that good stuff. Thanks, bud.
Thanks, Andrew.
Life Stadium. See you, boys.
See ya. Tommy Rees coming up in about 15 minutes. As Jeff Thomas just said, we will hear from the man who will be calling the plays for the Browns. And I just want to hear what he has to say. He's a young guy. He's 33 years old. He's highly thought of. You've heard his name thrown out for college head coaching positions recently. And you can be sure at some point he will be a head coach, but he played quarterback at Notre Dame. He worked at Notre Dame for a very long time. He worked for two coaches there. He worked for Brian Kelly, who wanted to take him to LSU. But Tommy stayed at Notre Dame and then worked for Marcus Freeman and then went to Alabama and called plays for Nick Saban in Nick Saban's last year as head coach of the Crimson Tide, still a phenomenal nickname.
It's a good resume.
Well, I just want our fans to know, you know,
no,
who,
I agree
who the
you.
Guy is here.
No, it's an impressive resume. I'm not joking. We have these mic flags if you're looking. If you can see the clip.
It just fell off. That's all right. There you go. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Good job.
Coffee on.
So Tommy, you know, Tommy's on the fast track to becoming a head coach in his 30s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're an offensive coordinator in the NFL and you have success and you're in your 30s, you're going to get hired.
What do you think, Jeff? I don't know that we've ever gone through this. What was your reaction the other day, truthfully? Or maybe you've had a little, because we did talk about it, but now you've had a little time to settle in. What does it mean that Tommy Rees is calling plays now?
I'm slightly torn over it, to be honest with you. I don't think this team has enough offensive talent that anybody is going to do a phenomenal job of calling the plays. And so if he does a similar type of job to what Kevin Stefanski did, then okay, then that screams, you know, it screams that there's not enough talent here. If he can change the thinking a little bit, well, maybe that'll help. You know, maybe that will help. I think this is, and you know, I think Kevin has done a very solid job of calling plays. When Kevin had skill position talent to work with, I think he did a nice job. I know some people disagree with that. I think he did. So you can yell at me for my opinion, but it's just my opinion. But this I don't get. And you can say, and as I mentioned to Andrew Siciliano moments ago, game flow can have a big part to do with that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, my answer to that, like we were talking about, you know, what he was going to do there,
yeah,
is just, I don't think there's going to be a significant change in what we're seeing from the offense unless, and one of the things might be bad, if Gabriel starts throwing picks, then that might mean they're trying to be a little bit more aggressive with Reese as the play caller, or that they're telling him that he can be a little bit more free range and take some more chances that maybe he didn't do before. That's like, to me, that might be one thing. Or, because I don't suddenly think what Gabriel sees or doesn't see downfield is going to change. And again, your play caller is only good for about 3 seconds. And once that 3 seconds hits, your quarterback is scrambling or trying to figure out something to salvage a play. So I'm not expecting significant changes from the offense on Sunday just because Tommy Reese is calling the plays.
Well, I hope we see one.
I do too, but I just don't see it. I don't see that happening.
That's what I wanted to bring up. And I mentioned this to Andrew. And I understand the Browns have been down in some games and game flow and everything else. The Browns have thrown more passes per game than any team in the NFL, folks. More passes per game than any team in the NFL. I mean, come on, man. You haven't had terrific quarterback play this year, whether it was Joe or whether it's been Dylan. Your wide receiving crew has not shown an ability to make a lot of plays, and yet you're throwing 37.8 passes per game. You're throwing more passes than any team in the NFL. And you don't have a standout quarterback, and you don't have standout receivers. And yet you're throwing like crazy. You're 25th in rushing attempts per game at 23.8. And we think that you can run the ball better than you have. And I've heard it come out of Joel Bitonio's mouth. We heard it come out of Jack Conklin. Offensive linemen like to run block. And it's like, hey, if it doesn't succeed, you keep doing it. And you wear them down and you pound on the other team. That's the way offensive linemen want to play. You drafted a running back to pound on the other team. You know, you didn't just draft a little scat back guy. You drafted a beast in Quinshon Judkins. And he's played well. He's run it pretty well, Andy. And yet you're 25th in rushing attempts and first in passes per game. That's the one thing where I think Kevin Stefanski, I don't know if he lost himself this year. I don't know. That's the only thing about the play calling this year that I would think has been bad. And and here's the thing. If you do that, if you throw more passes than anybody per game and it works, great. It doesn't work. They're not scoring any points. I mean, you're trying to throw like crazy and you're not scoring any points. What's that tell you? It tells you it hasn't worked.
Or they're not throwing to the right guys?
Well, they don't have the right guys. That's the problem. They don't have the right guys. So why are you throwing more than any team in the NFL? And that's what I hope Tommy can just bring it back to the center. Bring the passes down, bring the rushes up. It's pretty simple. And give your offensive linemen a chance to go out and make some plays in the run game.
Yeah, it was funny because when you started saying that most pass attempts, I was actually thinking about the Cavs game last night where I think the Cavs take more three-point attempts than anybody in the league. I was close. Only the Celtics take more in that scenario. And it's just like you're trying to create offense. I don't care what sport it is there. And the Browns are just having a difficult time doing it, especially to their wide receivers.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be super honest. The percentage of positive offensive plays coming through the passing game is going to the tight ends. Or, I mean, you might as well use the running backs in that scenario too. Because if you're, I mean, there's something wrong with the fact that you're throwing all those passes, as you said, and yet you just don't have any synergy with your wide receivers. Maybe Tillman changes that. Maybe Judy steps it up. But we're halfway through the season. It's like, okay, how about, and even if it was just, you know, two games or three games where we saw, you know, electric stuff from Judy, but someone's got to throw in the ball. So
there's a story out on SI.com headline: Tommy Reese is suddenly the fall guy for the Cleveland Browns offense. Sorry, I think that's absurd.
Well, does that go back to me saying that Kevin could be washing his hands of the offense to say that there's no again?
Yeah, but Tommy Reese isn't going to be the fall guy.
I don't think so.
Their offense has stunk. No. So if it continues to stink, it just shows you that they need better talent on the offense.
But if it stinks, it sometimes it, but to but you and
gets,
me,
if it gets better,
to me and you, all the Browns fans, we can see that. When you're looking, though, it's like, you know, they gave up 44 points to the Ravens earlier this year, right? And we're like, how that Browns defense, everyone talks about them being so good. How do they give up 44 points? Well, you know as well as I do that when the other team's defense scores against you, that's points. And when you look at the box score at the end of the day, you're blaming the defense for saying they gave up all those points when you know it's not true. When you throw an interception inside your own red zone and the other team only has to go 13 yards to score a touchdown. Are you really blaming that on the defense? That they were said, hey, hold them to one first down here so they don't score so we can make you look good. That's it's all perception. And the perception, Jeff, does not shock me that someone would write a story saying that if the Browns can't get anything done at the end of the season offensively, blame Tommy Rees. Blame the offensive coordinator.
But I think that's hogwash.
Hogwash because we know what's going on. Yeah. And people listening to our show know what's going on when you watch the Browns.
The Browns
if you're sitting in Portland or anywhere out west and you're like, oh, that offense still stinks, must be on the offensive coordinator.
Dylan Gabriel's a rookie, obviously. We know that. I don't think that Kevin's done, and the entire offense has been not good, but I don't think Kevin's done him any favors. Let me play a quick game. Dano, you in? Mm-hmm. Andy, you in?
I'm in.
What the heck?
Who has thrown more passes per game, Dylan Gabriel or Patrick Mahomes? Just
Gabriel. Yeah.
It's Mahomes, but by less than one.
Okay.
Who's thrown more passes per game, Dylan Gabriel or Baker Mayfield?
Gabriel.
It's Gabriel.
Yeah.
By about one per game.
Okay.
Drake May leads the NFL in completion percentage. He's like 74%. Who's thrown more passes per game, Dylan Gabriel or Drake May of the Patriots?
Gabriel.
That's correct. And Drake May is throwing under 29 passes per game. Let's get Dylan Gabriel down somewhere between 25 and 29 passes per game. And give him a chance to have a running game that makes a defense pay attention to the run game. And that makes it easier for him to throw the football, in theory.
When your offense is in the gutter, what are the different levers that you can pull from the outside looking in?
Well, you can change positions.
Right.
Yeah, you can change players.
Change a quarterback.
Or you can change philosophy. Wide receiver. You can change philosophy a little bit. And well, that's what I think has to change with Tommy Rees.
Agreed. They got to change the play caller. I Mary Kay laid it out really well in her piece about a week ago during the bye week of why he needs to give it up. I'm kind of with you. I think it's just time. Just because you need to yank every lever at this point. You need to go try a new brain, a new idea, a new way of adaption, a new scheme. Maybe not scheme, but more like schematic idea, if you're following what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's where this kind of makes sense. I don't think it's Kevin Stefanski distancing himself or anything. I don't think it's Kevin Stefanski setting up a fall guy. I think it's just Kevin Stefanski going, we got to do something because we can't keep puttering along and hoping for the best. Right now, you're a car driving on four flat tires hoping for the best. At least inflate two of them.
I agree. And
They do have two tires. But Fannin and Judkins are... You have two tires.
Yeah, but dude, that's a tight end who's been good.
Mm-hmm. Not great. He's coming along.
He hasn't been...
Didn't he just win an award last week?
He hasn't been Jimmy Graham. He hasn't been Travis Kelce in his prime.
It's not Brock Bowers.
He hasn't been Brock Bowers. He hasn't been Antonio Gates in his prime.
He's coming along, which is just great. That's fine. Just great.
And that's not a slam on him either.
No, of course not. Tommy Rees.
Gentlemen, we now go live to Berea for Browns offensive coordinator, Tommy Rees.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.